post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Welcome to the near post. My name's Eamon Flanagan, and with us in the studio tonight, we've got Fitzam Haptamurrian. How are you, Fitzam?
I'm excellent, Eamon. How are you?
You're looking good, mate. And Russ Gibbs is joining us. Welcome, Russ.
Thanks, Eamon. Very excited this week.
Michelle is not with us tonight, unfortunately, but why are you particularly excited, Russell?
I'm mostly very excited about the launch of the W League.
It is absolutely exciting week in football. And first, I'm going to make an apology because we do recognise and are on the near post massively excited about the W League, and we are going to talk about it in some depth, and we've got an interview with Benita Mercieres coming up, but we're not going to do it first because we're waiting for our special guest to come in, who will be in the second half of the show. So we are totally dedicated and devoted to the Women's League, but we're going to talk about a few other things first. So what is coming up in the show, Fitzam?
Well, coming up in the first half hour, we hear from the FFA head of corporate affairs, Benita Mercieres, and the big issue, football, and the National Women's League, about the start of the National Women's League. And we've also got, the big issue for today as well.
And also we've got the Green and Gold Army's John McGoran. John is head of, 11,000 Green and Gold Army members. And John's written an excellent response to Channel 7's decision to, do stuff with the other areas, which we'll talk about in a minute. We've got all the big issues, quiz dedications and more, of course, on the football show. You can email us on nearpost2xx@gmail.com. Our catch is on the blog. The podcast is always available on the blog at www.nearpost.blogspot.com, and you can listen to it anytime, any place, anywhere. Now, we dedicate the show, as always, we dedicate it to somebody. This week, we're not going to dedicate it to the Women's League. We're going to talk about that later, but we're going to dedicate it to a man who has been a star in the past. He's played at the highest level. He's had a rough time, with drugs and stuff, but he's come back and he's made his debut in A-League pre-season. Mark Bosnich, age of 36. Whatever you think about Bozo, he's back. And importantly, it's a fantastic story. A man on recovery. So good on you, Bozo. Great to have you back. Now, we've got a quiz. We're going to start with a quiz, as always. This is the easiest quiz we've ever had, Russ. So you should be all right on this one. Name the TV station that most dislikes football. You have a think about that, and we'll be back in just a moment.
The Matildas have shown we can be world class. The near post, get there fast.
Okay, Russ, who is it? The TV station that most dislikes football?
I'm probably going to guess that it's the rugby loving supporters of Prime.
Channel 7, we think, I agree, you've got it right, Russ. I don't know how you did it, but you got it right. We think they are definitely the station that dislike football most. Now, okay, so some people might disagree with that, but there you go. Fitzam, we've got any news?
We do. The first and main news is the one that we discussed, is that the launch of the W League, which has been a great news to come, especially regarding football. And we've also got a rumour that Carl Valeri will be possibly signing off to go with Calgary for $4 million. So that's another Canberra boy.
That's good news and good for the Socceroos, I guess, if he's playing in Syria. Other news is, what have we got? Well, Mark Bosnich played his first game for the Mariners, saved a penalty. Russ, have you got anything for us?
Nicola Topol-Stanley is in China preparing for the Olympics with the other Ollie Roos guys. Should be some interesting stuff there.
And how about the massive sponsorship for women's game from Westfield? Westfield has come up with a big support to the Women's League, so well done to them.
Certainly have. The World Homeless Cup is in December in Melbourne, and it will be screened. Certainly the finals will be live on SBS. So good news again for more football. Anything else?
Joey's. Yeah, and also the Joeys, the first team to win any cup of sort for Australia, are actually in Europe for 3 weeks to play games in England and Germany. So good luck to the boys as well.
And Adelaide United have signed Paul Reed as their last signing for the A-League season. And I guess the final thing is the Canberra A-League. There's a big push this week with online and viral campaigns starting later in the week. With South Coast have also got a big campaign starting. They've got a great website up as well. So things are hotting up in the bid to get to the A-League.
Oh, definitely. I think especially in Canberra's case, Canberra deserve to have a team. So I think it's looking, hopefully it'll happen.
Well, we obviously are biased because although we go across Australia, we come from the studios in Canberra, and we don't mind saying so. We think Canberra should beat everybody else. It's as simple as that.
Definitely.
Canberra first, and everybody else can find it out. We'll see how we go.
Just till we get a team anyway, yeah.
That's right. Okay, we're going to find out. We're going to talk the big issue in just a moment.
From Perth Glory to the Central Coast, from Melbourne Victory, hear the Queensland roar. This is the Near Post. Going coast to coast.
The Near Post, get there first if it's for football news that you
Okay, Fitzham, what have we got to talk about? We're going to talk about the Women's League, which is the real big issue, but I guess until that time, that's the second half of the show. What are we going to chat about?
We've got a couple of other issues. One is the contract issue that Rugby League has experienced, and the other one, and what reflections that we'll have, I guess, with the A-League. And the other one is Mark Bosnich and how he's
We'll start with Bozo, first of all. Mentioned it as a dedication. Fantastic that Bozo is back in the game. What are your thoughts?
Well, I thought he was... his comeback was exceptional. I think it's a lot. His performance was a lot higher than anybody would have expected. And it's not just because he saved a penalty. I think you could just see he was enjoying the game. He was getting involved, and I think he impressed a lot of the people. I think there was about 7,000 people there that were very excited to be there and watch Mark Bosnich come back.
It's good to, yeah. I mean, it's a fantastic story, isn't it, that he's reached the highest level and now he's back in there, saving the penalty. Whether he'll get signed up, they're giving him a 2-week trial, and they're still not committed to signing him up. But what do you think? Do you reckon they'll keep him?
I think they will. I think if they don't, someone else will. There's a couple of clubs that probably want a second, third keeper. So I think Central Coast better sign him. Otherwise,
they're trying to keep him under the salary cap. They've got a couple of options. They can play him for seven games, or they can play him under the salary cap, or he can be a marquee. And apparently in the paper today it said Bozo would like to be the marquee.
That's no surprise.
Okay, the other issue, I suppose, before we get onto the Women's League, is the salary cap. Sonny Bill Williams, that's the only time we ever mentioned a rugby league player, has run off to France. But more interestingly, I suppose, for the A-League, is there's a challenge in the courts. And if in Australia, all the other codes, of course, they have salary caps. If the salary cap was abolished, it would have massive implications for the A-League. What do we think?
I think it would, especially since it's, I guess the A-League is just starting off. So the last thing we want is for the contract issue to be resolved in a way that the salary cap gets removed.
I mean, it's got about, all the clubs, like in Scotland, you've only got one team, like Celtic, and in Spain there's a couple more. But you kind of know who's going to win the leagues overseas all the time, which I don't mind as a Celtic fan. But can you imagine what would happen here? The smaller clubs like the Central Coast and Adelaide, they wouldn't be able to compete with the Sydneys and Melbourne, who, if there was no salary cap straight away, you'd begin, they'd be able to get that little bit extra money to gain the players.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's an important issue that you've touched on right there. Is it's going to stop the salary cap, stops two or three clubs becoming monopolistic of the league. And I think if the salary cap was abolished in Australia, you'd find an awful lot of the best paid players would end up at Sydney FC. And all of a sudden, we'd have one team that's capable of winning the competition to the detriment of all the others.
And probably would destroy our competition, because it's such a young competition that it's kind of, this year we still don't know, you don't know who's going to win it. Whereas in England, that Man United, Chelsea, Arsenal, Liverpool and nobody else are going to be in the top four.
Well, I think that's a good thing for the A-League, in that it's had different winners in each of the years, and each year every team has become more and more competitive, and it's really difficult to pick not just the winner of the competition, but the winner of each game each week. It's becoming harder and harder.
We might be, a bit narrow-minded, some people say, but we did mention Rugby League on this show once, so there we go. Thanks. Okay, thanks, guys. We've got coming up, we're going to hear from the Green and Gold Army's John McGoran. John is outraged, and rightly so, that the Socceroos, the Olleroos, are going to have their games reduced. This is what I caught up with John during the week, this is what he had to say. I'm joined now by the Green and Gold Army's John McGoran. John wrote a letter recently outlining I suppose the Green and Gold and football fans' response to Channel 7's initial decision, at least, to not to show Olympic qualifiers or Olympic Games matches for the Early Roos incomplete. John, what were your thoughts, and why did you respond to the Channel 7 in the way you did?
Well, we believe now as football supporters that we can push out when we feel an injustice has been done to football fans. We just thought Channel 7's coverage that they've outlined so far for the Olympics just wasn't good enough.
What was their initial coverage?
Well, their initial coverage so far is the first game, which is the day before the opening ceremony, so it doesn't conflict with any other scheduled events. They're showing it on delay and then going to interrupt it at an appropriate time, they say, to show who's going to carry the flag the next day. So that's the first game. The second game, they're scheduled to cut it off with 15 minutes to go.
That's the Argentinian game.
That's the Argentina game, and you can't cut football off with 15 minutes to go.
No.
When it starts heating up. And the last game was just going to be mixed in with basketball, which is a disservice to basketball and to football. Well, their argument is logical, and it's fair enough. They have lots of sports to cover, but they do have a co-broadcaster who specialises in football, SBS. They've got their co-broadcaster. So any sports they don't want to show, SBS has the right to pick those up. And SBS is going to show a lot of football matches. I'm sure they're the high-profile Netherlands games and Argentina and Brazil, other games. So if Channel 7 doesn't want to show the games in full, let SBS show them in full with a football commentator rather than Channel 7's Gordon Bray.
You don't like Gordon Bray, the rugby commentator?
He's a rugby man. We think that the least they could have done was borrowed someone from SBS or Fox Sports or something.
It is unbelievable, John, in this day and age, that one, they can't show the Australian Oli Roos team in full, especially when they're playing teams like Serbia and Ivory Coast and not Argentina, but also the fact that they've got Gordon Bray. I mean, it's a joke, isn't it?
That's just a further insult to football fans. They just show that the disdain that Channel 7 has for football and have shown over the past decade or so when they've...
We remember it well when they blocked the showing, they bought the football rights and blocked it so we couldn't see it.
That was always everyone's favourite moment, and it finally came to the fore in the C7 court case where Kerry Stokes finally admitted his word was suffocated football to further.
Some might say screwed, but we would not on air.
No, we wouldn't. We just leave that for bumper stickers.
Yeah. Now, what I'm intrigued by and what I'm interested in, 442 and yourself, the Green and Gold Army, you've both come out strongly, and in a way that we've never had in the past, we've actually got voices now that can actually criticise what's going on. Even SBS, as dear as they are to football fans, haven't been able to criticise in the way that you guys and 442 have. I think it's fantastic.
It was a really good show of solidarity amongst football fans last week, and that finally we are not going to be held down and kicked around like we have previously been, and that we are a growing force in Australian sport. It was fantastic to see the Green and Gold Army and its 11,000 members show its force.
Well, John McGoran, we on the Near Post Radio, we salute you and we say great work, mate. Keep it up and we're right behind you. Let's get the Oli Roos on one of the stations, whichever station wants to show it, with a football commentator. Thanks for your efforts, John. Keep it up, mate.
Thanks, guys.
That was John McGoran from the Green and Gold. Thanks, John, and we fully support you in your quest to get the Oli Roos on the Channel 7 for the whole game, or on SBS. We don't really mind where, as long as they get them for the whole game with the proper commentator. Now, we're going to concentrate on the big news of the week, very exciting news of the year, possibly. The Women's League the W League is starting. We're going to hear first of all, we've been joined by Heather Reid from Capital Football CEO. We're going to first hear from Benita Mercedes, the head of corporate affairs at the FFA. She sets the scene for us about what's happening with the Women's League, and then we'll analyse that, I guess, with Heather and Fitzsim later. So here we are, joined by Benita. I'm joined by the head of corporate and public affairs at the FFA, Benita Mercedes. Benita, an absolutely outstanding and exciting day for football and for women's football in particular.
It is an exciting day. It's really a landmark day, as we've said. It's the first time that there's been support overall for women's football at the elite level, through from national age championships for girls to the establishment of a new W League, and, of course, through to the national teams, so much so that we now have the Westfield Matildas. Well, I think it's great. It's an idea whose time has come as well. For those of us who have been following football all our lives, and certainly for some years, it's certainly the case that women's football has been one of the success stories of football in and of itself. And it was really interesting today at the launch because we quote figures such as there's been an average 6.3% growth in women's football over each of the past 10 years. But in fact, the sports minister, Kate Ellis, revealed that she had different data, which was even more complimentary than that. There's been a 20% growth in women's football at a time when participation in sport is falling overall, and particularly participation in girls' sport. So, you know, from a federal government perspective, this really is the growth team sport and the sport of the future for young women and for young girls and women.
Certainly is. And now, obviously, in the Westfield have recognised that. And so, with the women's league particularly, how is that going to be structured? And how is that going to be played out?
Well, there'll be eight teams in the Westfield W League, one from each of the existing Australian Hyundai A League clubs, and one, of course, from Canberra, which will be called Canberra United. That we'll actually be revealing more about the Westfield W League a little bit closer to kickoff. The competition will kick off at the end of October. Each of the teams, there'll be two groups within that competition, and there'll be finals at the end of January. We're almost on the dotted line with a party regarding broadcast rights for the W League, and we hope to be in announcement. We hope to be in a position to make an announcement on that very soon.
So, what do you think then? This new sponsorship deal for women's football in general. Where do you think it's going to take women's football in the future?
Look, I think it will help grow football. I mean, one of the things that Westfield says, and this is purely a business decision from their perspective, it's nothing to do with either the chairman or anyone else involved with Westfield who loves football, although there are some big football fans in Westfield, obviously. It is a business decision, and the business decision is on the basis that something like Westfield shopping centres in Australia had 450 million separate visits in a single year. I mean, I find that figure phenomenal. And 70% of those visits are from women. So they have a very close relationship with women and girls. This sponsorship, this partnership, is about women's football overall. And what it will help us do is give us a really clear pathway for elite competition. It will allow us to put more effort into in terms of marketing, in terms of media, and it will say to the talented elite players, there is a real career pathway here for you. We've tended to... one of the great competitions in sport currently is the competition for elite players. And this allows us to say to young women who are interested in taking up sport as a career and maybe are good at a number of sports or maybe are thinking about perhaps they should do something else rather than play football, that there is an opportunity here for you to do something with your talent. Look, I think over time there's a whole lot of work that FFA is doing that's of benefit to grassroots, and that includes girls at grassroots. Firstly, we are putting a lot of effort into coaching programs and ensuring that coaches for both young boys and young girls have appropriate accreditation and the skills to be able to coach people appropriately. We're certainly putting more effort into referee education and development. And importantly, let's not forget the non-playing women in football. There's quite a lot of them. We estimate that there's around about 80,000 women who every week are the backbone of junior and community clubs around the country. And one of the things that we'll be working on over the coming year or so will also be a volunteer program, a volunteer recognition and recruitment and retention program. As I mentioned earlier, we'll be making more announcements about the Westfield W League in the coming weeks. So that's the next exciting instalment, I guess. And I think one more thing I should mention also is that what this announcement today does, and also some recent developments in women's football, it also starts to put some money into the women who are playing. It's not large amounts, it's nowhere near such as the men get in the A-League, but it is allowing a bit of recognition of women who have that talent and that are elite players. It gives them some recognition for their time and their effort and the commitment that they give to the game.
What sort of money are we talking about?
Well, for each of the Westfield W-League clubs, there's a salary cap of $150,000. But importantly, there are 22 Matildas players who are contracted to FFA along the same lines as men are in cricket or rugby. We can't do that, as you know, Eamon, with our Socceroos, but we can with our talented Matildas players. And that's all up, if you count that up, it's around about $1.4 million, which is going to help or can be available to help talented women players.
Well, I think it's a fantastic development for the game, and obviously particularly for the women's game. And good on you, FFA. Good on you, Benita.
Thanks, Eamon. And, of course, as an ex-Canberra girl, I'm looking forward to Canberra United doing well in the Westfield W League.
And that was the FFA Head of Corporate Affairs, Benita Mercieres. We're joined by Heather Reid, the CEO of Capital Football. And Heather has been around women's football, I guess, an awful long time. This is an exciting day for us at the Near Post. But for Heather, what, you know, you've been around women's football for a long time. What does it mean to you personally?
Oh, look, I think it's a great achievement. It's certainly, you know, personally very satisfying, but it's also very satisfying for Canberra and for Capital Football. The Football Federation Australia actively engaged the member federations in this process for starting the W League, and there was absolutely no hesitation by the board of Capital Football to say, let's make this happen. If we've got an opportunity to bid to be part of this league, then basically go for it, Heather, and do what you can to make it work.
We're going to Canberra listeners can hear Heather Reid talking in depth about the Canberra team and what it means for Canberra and what and how it might take shape, I guess. But I'd like to focus just on the women's league in general, Heather. The sponsorship of the game, I mean, we've never really had that at this level. We're going to, you know, they're talking the game's definitely going to be on TV from what I'm hearing. You know, the sponsorship for the national team, we're no longer the Waltzing Matildas or whatever. We're going to be the Westfield Matildas. They're going to have to change the song. you know, what at that bigger picture level, Heather, across the country and with all the women and girls playing sport, you know, how do you feel about that?
Oh, look, it's about time to coin a phrase from some other areas.
I'm even young enough to remember that.
It's time, and I think it reflects the incredible growth in the women's game, as Benita was talking about, the percentage growth. We've seen that here locally. We've seen girls' participation grow from probably, you know, a dozen teams in the Tuggeranong, Western Creek area, you know, some years ago, now grow to around about 3,400 girls in junior competition. We've seen the women's team, the women's league grow from 10 teams in 1978 right through to now we've got 70-odd teams, 1,200 senior players, the only area of Australia to have an over 35s dedicated women's competition. Very proud of that. And believe it or not, yes, I've been involved for the full 30 years. So it's a very personally satisfying achievement all round for Canberra to have this team in the W League. And I think I would like to hope that everybody in Canberra, all of the football community, actually support this team and that we don't get hung up on, you know, well, we've got a W League team, when are we going to get an A League and a youth league? We've got to go step by step. FFA wanted, I think, a team from Canberra. We've made it happen. Capital Football will have to support this financially as well as resource-wise.
I guess, Heather, just to touch on the other clubs, I suppose the A-League clubs have got their branding and they've got their women's team. How do you think from, you know, your sort of inner knowledge, I guess, how do you think the A-League clubs are going to cope with just a youth team on board and a women's team in the same year? It's a big hurdle administratively and cost-wise.
Well, it's very important to point out that this is, in most cases, it's a three-way relationship. It's the A-League club working with the member federations and also working with the NTCs, or the Institute and Academy programs, where they exist. So, for example, in Queensland Raw would be working very closely with Queensland Football and also the Queensland Academy of Sport to make this whole thing happen. From what I understand, there are very clear responsibilities and obligations set down for each of the parties. It's also probably fair to say that unless the member federations really wanted to support this, then there wouldn't be those teams in the league. So, you know, each of the clubs, each of the franchises are going to have different arrangements in place, particularly in terms of financial input and other resources that they provide. But the bottom line is, from our point of view, Capital Football will make this team happen with the support of ACTAS and obviously with the support of FFA. And I think we've got a great product here. We've got Canberra United. It signifies the work that we've done in the last 4 years to unify four organisations into a single entity. We'll be wearing green, so we'll be the second green team in the National League. There's a lot that we want to do with that whole concept and build a tremendous supporter base so that we can complement the work that's being done by other groups to get an A-League team in Canberra.
And Canberra listeners can hear a lot more from Heather Reid in the second half of the show. We're going to go through a lot of the issues there. Heather, for the women's game across the country, what focus? And I saw an article today where they talked about the netball being under threat. Although the netball had a fantastic night last night in Sydney, but being under threat from this challenge, I guess, from the rising tide.
Look, I don't think we can underestimate the support of the Westfield sponsorship. We have been waiting for a long time to hear of a big sponsor to come in and support football.
Do you shop there, Heather?
I've been to Belconnen and Loudon, yes, and we'll be shopping there a lot
more. We all go to
Interestingly,
Westfield from
in the research that the Westfield company did, it was shown that there was 70% of their shoppers are women. And
the
so
figure
the
was like something like 400, I can't remember, but it was like how many, 480 million?
Yeah. Look, it's a tremendous fit. And the fact that they've picked up the other products as well, it's the whole women's, a suite of women's products from the championships through to the national teams through to the W League. The sponsorship, I think, is probably one of the top levels of sponsorship for any of the of any women's teams in Australia.
Do you know what it is?
No, I don't. No,
right.
I don't.
I'll find out.
I'd speculate that it'd have to be around about $500,000 to $1 million for the
three. Does that have any implications for yourself in terms of capital football at the local level? If, you know, I'm thinking if Westfield's on board, you know, maybe there's opportunities there for Capital Football to, you know, get Westfield Belconnen or...
Oh, well, Westfield Belconnen and Westfield Woden will be actively engaged in the Canberra United marketing strategies. We'll be doing a whole rollout of activities at those shopping centres. That's part of the sponsorship arrangement, although I don't know the detail and Benita can probably share a little bit more on that. But I did meet the marketing guy from Westfield yesterday in Sydney. We went up for the launch and, you know, he's indicated that there will be, you know, opportunities for obviously player appearances, team registration days, a whole range of things happening.
So it really does change the landscape for the girls and the women in general, doesn't it, when you're talking about promotional materials, coaching material.
Yeah. And many of the shops within the Westfield shopping centres might also want to get on board and support. We've had that before with groups like Rebel, etc. But, you know, going back to the question about what this means for other sports, I think netball has been under threat for some time, and I think probably a lot of other sports, whether it's basketball, hockey, softball, cricket, etc., that have kind of national leagues as well, they've been very closely watching the growth of women's participation in football. It's been a long time coming, but in the short space of no more than 12 years, I've said it before, we've got an Olympic Games football competition for women, we've got a World Championship, which is highly contested now, more than 160 countries vying for qualification, not just simply putting their hand up to be in the finals. The women's under-20s and now the women's under-17s. That's four significant world championships for women that are now on the calendar. Being part of Asia adds a lot more momentum and impetus to that as well, because the qualification process is so much more lengthy and onerous. The game is just exploding. It is the true world game. And I think, like many of the other sports, the only one that can probably match it with us in terms of numbers and girls' participation would be basketball. Now, we don't want to compete with basketball. We're actually going to be looking to do some complementary cross promotion with the Capitals, because I think the Canberra Capitals bring a great deal to the Canberra community, and Canberra United will do the same.
OK, we've got to leave it there, Heather. Thanks very much. Canberra listeners, stay with us. We're going to chat some more in detail to Heather Reid. Great news for the Women's League. Thanks, Russ Gibbs, for joining us, and Fitzham Hap to Marion. I will just say on one note that as a Near Post Radio, we hope to... we have plans aboard to stream and cover all the Women's National League games live. So when you're listening to your Sydney or your Melbourne down here, you'll be hearing us talk about the games from Canberra. A bit of work to be done, but that's where we hope to be. And remember, if you're going to the Near Post,
get there first. Near Post, get there first. The Near Post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The Near Post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the Near Post, get there first.
Hi, Andrew Barr, ACT Sports Minister. Very pleased to support the A-League bid.
Walter Komet here from the Canberra Referees. Fully support the Canberra bid for the A-League team. Hopefully we'll get there.
Hi, I'm Laurie McKenna from the Central Coast Mariners, and I support the Canberra A-League bid.
And you want to be the manager one day?
and my contract runs out in a few years.
Hi, I'm John Hutchinson from the Central Coast Mariners, and I support the Canberra A-League bid.
I'm Chris Scottish from Capital Football, and I support the A-League bid.
I'm Maren Sherwood, I'm from the Canberra Times, and I support the A-League bid.
Yeah, g'day.
Don't do that, I'll play it. You know what
I'm Reedy from O'Connor, and I support the A-League bid.
Okay, Zach Pithafter from support Radford College, and definitely supporting a bid for the A-League team for Canberra.
I'm Tim Gable from ABC Sport. I support the Canberra A-League bid.
I'm Sean Ongtong from Belconnen United, and I support the Canberra A-League bid.
Yeah, I'm Marco Brkic, Canberra FC.
Hi, it's Senator Kate Lundy. I'm playing football for the first time this year for Canberra City, and I'm here watching the Mariners play the Newcastle Jets in their rematch, and I'm here to support a Canberra A-League bid. We need a team, guys.
Jason Lancer from Curva Coaching. I support the A-League, especially the Canberra bid.
Yes. I'm Gordo, I'm from Tuggeranong United, and I support the Canberra A-League.
I'm Sebastian Hogan from Tuggeranong United, and I support the Canberra A-League team.
I'm Riley McGowan from Roden, and I support the Canberra A-League bid.
I'm Matthew Cohen from Roden, and I support the Canberra A-League bid.
Excuse me, do you support the team for Canberra?
I'm Ivan's Roden.
Well, then you do. It's actually signed off.
We've already signed up.
Yeah, good on you. Okay, nice to meet you.
I'm Zoe Blackman from Chisholm, and I support the Canberra A-League bid.
Beautiful. My name's Andrew Lewis, and I support the Canberra A-League, and I play for Bell North.
Hi, I'm Billy. I'm from Bell North, and I support the Canberra A-League.
Hello, I'm Paul Foster from the AIS, and I support the Canberra bid for a team in the A-League.
My name's Ian Shaw. I'm from Capital Football, and I do support the A-League bid.
I'm Hewat Johnson. I'm from Majura, and I would like to see a Canberra A-League team.
I'm Maddie Morty, and I'm from Manara, and I would like to see an A-League team in Canberra.
I'm Tom Motherwell from Essential Soccer, and I would love to see an A-League team in Canberra.
Hi, I'm Steve Doss by Brindabella Blues Soccer Club, and this is a fantastic crowd. Love to see us back in the A-League.
I'm from Capital Football Referees, and I'd love to see a Canberra football team here. And I'm Clive McKillop.
Good evening, and welcome to Capital Football's half-an-hour near-post radio show. We're again joined by Russ Gibbs. Welcome, Russ.
Thanks very much, Chris.
How you doing?
I'm okay, mate. How are you?
I'm very well. I hear you played at Pathway League this week.
Got to play on McKellar with nice field for a change.
And scored one as well, I understand.
I was lucky.
Lucky. And also joined in the studio this week by Capital Football CEO Heather Reid. Welcome, Heather.
Thank you, Chris.
Big news.
That's big news. It's terrific news. It's Westfield W League.
Indeed. We'll discuss that further, but as usual, take a look at the news headlines at the top of the hour. We have a chat with Heather with all things W League and women's football. And finally, we check out and preview all the weekend's matches. If you've got a Canberra football story you'd like to share with us, please contact the show at media@capitalfootball.com.au. And you can catch the podcast on the blog at www.nearpost.blogspot.com. But Russ, I believe you've got some great news.
Well, we're going to start off with the main news of the day and the main news of the season. As Eamon may have mentioned previously, for those of you listening to the national show, Canberra United, that's the new team in the exciting Westfield Women's League, which starts in August. We've got 1,000 questions to ask Heather Reid, which we'll be doing shortly. Chris, it's fantastic news for Canberra.
Look, it is great news for Canberra. I couldn't think of any better news. Fantastic to see a team such as that get off the ground, and great to see Canberra get a foot in the door with the FFA. You know, it could have great news for the future of Canberra football with regards to the A-League as well.
Which is fantastic news. Elsewhere in the men's league, Canberra FC have been crowned champions with 4 games to spare after their 2-0 victory on the weekend. Woden Valley beating Belconnen United 3-2. Bit of a surprise with that result, but it's given Canberra FC probably the best team in the league in the men's, if we touch on it briefly. Good championship win for them. We're not surprised.
Indeed. Also, Steve Dospot is fundraising an ACT election campaign. Former Soccer Canberra president is having an Olympics night. www.dospot.com for all the details. But it's going to be down at the Southern Cross Club, an Olympic theme, so it should be a fantastic night. I believe it's the 10th of August, kicking off at 7 p.m. So more the merrier down there, I say.
Absolutely. A few more bits of news. Majura Club, hats off to them. They've moved, big move to the next implementation stage of small-sided games. They started on the weekend. Huge success for them. Nicola Topostani's in China as he prepares for the Olympic Games. Pat Caggiano is the new boss at Canberra City, and we're firing through these today because we've got lots to talk about. And the Canberra A-League official ambassador, Socru Cavallari, may be on the move to Cagliari for $4 million.
Look, it's a fantastic sign for Cole. Hopefully he can step up into this Serie A and cement a spot, which will only benefit him and the Socceroos.
Brilliantly, that's good news for him. And of course, we've got some Canberra A-League news in the men's to come up with and talk about in just a moment.
I'm Amy Chapman from the Matildas, and you're listening to The Near Post on 2XX 98.3 FM.
And, we certainly have got some A-League news, and I guess we'll just go through that for the next few couple of minutes. The Canberra A-League bid is well online. Ivan Slavic has a whole team of people from Pricewaterhouse to Zoo, you name it. They're working on it, FM 104, 106, Canberra Times, and me.
Good on you, Eamon.
Yeah, the biggest of all, I say.
Yeah, and I'm trying to get everybody else involved, so you know, don't be shy, come forward. I guess what's happening this week is they're focusing on still getting people signed up on the Service One members at the Service One. But the big deal that's coming out this week is they're going to launch their the big team are going to launch their new website, and on that there will be online facilities. And I know, talking to a lot of people like myself, haven't signed up yet because we're waiting to do it online because we're the modern generation. So I had a chat with Ivan. I said, "Come on, Ivan, get it online, and I'll be first in." So and to that end, they're going to be the advertising is going to start on FM 104, 106, and in the Canberra Times, and it's all free. And these people are working on it. All free. So Ivan's done a tremendous job to get a huge amount of resources thrown at this thing. I'm absolutely dead confident that they're going to get the money, but I think the thing that is going to convince the FFA and everybody else to put more money in is whether we can get the fan base. And what we've come up with a cunning plan. While the bid team are doing their particular development, I suppose we might say the corporate side of it, the advertising, all that sort of stuff. We're trying to get the grassroots involved because this is really the key, the success of the A-League. So what we've done and what I've done is I'm aiming to get 90 ambassadors, Canberra A-League ambassadors signed up, as which Russ Gibbs is one, Chris Goddess, Heather Reid, there are three ambassadors there, and it's a scheme called 10 plus 1. And the idea is that we all go along as an ambassador for our local club, man and woman. We're trying to get a man and woman for each club across the town. I'm trying to get 90. I've got 54 after making 54 phone calls. And 10 plus 1. So what they do is they come along and listen to Ivan on make the bid next Wednesday. He'll tell us all about the bid. And then each ambassador goes out and gets 10 people, encourages 10 people to sign up, and asks of those 10 people to get one more. And I figure if the football people of Canberra, like, for example, Russ Gidd, Heather Reid, Chris Goddess and myself, we're out there talking to football people all the time. If we can't get people on board, then nobody can. And with the proper the advertising and the bid coming in on top, I think it can work. There's 90 people, getting 10 people each, that's 1,000 people before we start. And that would be a tremendous start to kick into the campaign. So if you would like to be an ambassador for your club, we've still got plenty of places available. James Modric from Canberra FC, Steve Forshaw from Belconnen, Kath Temple from Western Creek, Donna Cook from Majura are just four that signed up today. As I say, we've got plenty of ambassadors required. We'd love to have your support. Contact me on flanagan.amen@gmail.com or send it through to media@capitalfootball.com.au and they'll forward it on. And I guess that's the big news. So I'm expecting big things to happen in the next 2 weeks. We're going to get a real sign of where this thing's going and what sort of level of grassroots support we're going to get. And I'd encourage everybody to get out there. And, you know, there's been a bit, you know, people have been sitting back waiting, I guess. Well, you know, with these 54 ambassadors and more to come, I'm hoping we can get a real bit of chat starting. And then with Ivan's campaign at the top end, hopefully it can all come together in a rush. Russ, what do you think?
Sounds like great news, and I encourage everybody to get out there and do it. And if you don't want to become an ambassador but you still want to sign up, either go onto the website when it comes live, go into the branch where you can sign up, or of course see your club ambassador and they'll sign you up.
Heather, I haven't spoke to you about being an ambassador, but you're all for it, I know it. And I just needed to get 10
people. One of the
people.
Many emails that was waiting for me when I got to the office today.
You don't need to read this one, Heather. You just need to get 10
I'll
people signed up. Yeah, okay.
No problem.
As Russ says, everybody can sign up, ambassador or not, but those that do sign up as an ambassador will get their name on the official website. So, you know, you'll be there forever. So it'd be fantastic. All right, I think that's all the early news.
With less than a month until the bid has to be into the FFL, I think it's about now that people have to start getting on board and really supporting Ivic Slavic. There's no point jumping on in 2 weeks, 3 weeks' time. Do it now.
If you want a team in the town, it's up to us, ultimately.
Well, I think you summed up there very well, Eamon. But as we mentioned at the top of the show, we're joined by a very special guest and Capital Football CEO Heather Reid, who received very, very good news yesterday regarding Canberra's involvement in the new W League. What does a team such as this mean for, I guess, local female footballers?
Well, the primary aim of it, really, Chris, will be to make sure that we strengthen that pathway for our local Premier League players through to the national team. There's been a gap there between for some years in the absence of a national league, and this one just really continues the opportunities for players to go through to the highest level. We'll see the best players in Australia in this league. Hopefully it will prevent a player drain, so the likes of Caitlin Munoz and Lydia Williams and Cheryl Salisbury and others that might have considered going overseas in the summer months will now actually stay in Australia and play in a league of their own.
Well, you mentioned there's a four-year hiatus between the last Women's National League and the new one. What's going to be the difference between the old, now defunct one and the new one?
Well, I think certainly the start is the number of teams. The previous National League had six teams. This one's going to have eight. They're going to be very much tied to the A-League brands, or they are the A-League brands plus the Canberra United. We can expect a lot more momentum being driven through the member federations, the institute programs, and also the A-League clubs. Probably the key difference will be free-to-air television coverage. FFA hasn't yet released the details of that, but the free-to-air television coverage is actually critical from my point of view to help promote and profile the game, but also help us to generate some sponsors for it.
You mentioned there, Heather, that obviously the rest of the teams that are in the W League are all branded with current A-League teams. We haven't got a current A-League team, so how did you manage to get us in?
Hard work. Well, I could have used the line that when I first heard of the concept being based on the A-League brands, I suppose what I was saying to people was we shouldn't be discriminated against or, in fact, disadvantaged by the fact that we don't have an A-League team and therefore miss out on having a W-League team. We have a strong history of women's development as well as women's success in football in Canberra. We were in the former National Soccer League. We won the National Soccer League. We were runners-up in another year. That was under the Canberra Eclipse banner. And I think we actually set the scene for some of the other teams to match us in some of the marketing and the naming and other things that we did with Canberra Eclipse, including having, you know, great venues for them to play in. But we've also punched well above our weight when it comes to having players in national teams. And I mean, currently we've got three Matildas, but at some stages over the last 10 or so years, we've had five or six players from Canberra in the national team. And, you know, we don't have to go much further than see the volume of players that have come from Canberra, going right back to Julie Murray, when Julie made her debut at 15 in 1986. Yeah, that's showing my age. But also players like Sasha Wainwright, Amy Taylor, Amy Wilson, Peter Claire Heppelin, Amy Beattie. You know, we can just go through a whole range of them that have been there. And I'd like to think that players like Caitlin and Lydia and Amy Chapman are going to be the marquee players for us in the new Canberra United, and they'll inspire and motivate lots of other women to come forward and trial for selection.
You mentioned some of those big names there. You yourself have been involved in the game a long time, and women's football obviously has
never a big name in the playing field.
It's obviously held, women's football obviously holds a special place for you. Now we've got massive sponsorship deal for the Matildas, the Westfield W League, TV deals to come. How does someone with all your experience, with all the changes you've seen in the women's game, actually feel personally today? You must feel vindicated with all the hard work.
It's very personally satisfying. But for me as CEO, I do want to make it very clear. I work for all of football. It's been, you know, the development of the women's game has been a bit of a baby of mine. We're going right back to 1978 when we started the first competition. It's really fitting that it's a 30th year of women's participation and we have this terrific news. But I also believe, you know, I do work for the whole of football. I'm trying my best to make sure that we support the A-League bid and youth team participation. We've got a futsal restructure happening. There's a lot of things going on in our sport at the moment. And I have to say, I couldn't do this without the support of the clubs, and in particular the board of Capital Football, and especially the current board led by John Logue and the directors there. They're committed to the women's game. They see that perhaps there hasn't been enough put into the women's game over many, many years. They see the future in many respects resting in growing women and girls' participation. And, you know, Capital Football is prepared to put an investment into this particular team as well as potentially take a risk.
So we've got a team now, Canberra United. We've got some colours coming out. We're playing in green. Got the branding, obviously, to sort out. Then we move on to the issue of coaches and players. Mm-hmm. Where do you see them coming from?
There will be an open application process for the coach, which will start in the next day or two. It'll be managed by FFA because they hold the key licence for our club, and we are a sub-licence to that. We would expect that interest in coaching the team will come from perhaps all over Australia. It's a four-month job. As soon as we get the coach on board, we'll then look at the appointment of other team officials, and then the trial and selection process for the players, which will be largely the coach's responsibility. We hope to start that process as soon as possible, but probably not before the beginning of September. Got to remember, we're just finishing off some... we've only got a month, in fact, to get the coach in place for that trial process for players. But we've also got to finish off our Premier League competitions. Other players from around the country are engaged in their own local leagues. The Matildas and Young Matildas are still engaged in some international activities. But I'm confident we'll have a team announced by the end of September for the league to start on the 25th of October.
And we'll be encouraging this. Will there be trials? Will there be encouraging for local
players? Yes, there'll be trials. All players will be welcome to come along to trials. And don't assume that it's only going to be players from Canberra. We could get players from Sydney and the South Coast and Queensland and anywhere else, because this is a national competition and players from out the whole of Australia are entitled to be part of it, and we'll welcome players from wherever if they want a trial. I'm also quite keen to explore the possibility of a marquee player or two from overseas, a New Zealander, a Canadian, somebody from Japan, because the women's game in those countries is also booming, and this little snapshot of a league from October through to January might provide a nice opportunity for those players to come and join us.
Once the coaches and the players are on board, obviously we're going to have a nice venue to play at. Heard it was possibly going to be at Mackellar. What will Capital Football be doing to encourage crowds to attend the games and get people out there on a Saturday, Sunday, whenever it may be, to get as much support behind this team as we can?
We want Canberra to see green in summer. There's also another green team here in Canberra for the winter, but we want Canberra to be painted green throughout the whole of summer, with or without rain, to help make that happen. We're already workshopping a few titles. I mean, Canberra United, it's CU as the letters. We would like to see you in green, be seen in green. It's cool to be green. There's a whole range of things that we're talking about developing around that green theme, as well as the United aspect. To a large extent, FFA will be responsible for the templating of the branding, the marketing, the merchandise and things like that. But there are other things that Capital Football and ACTAS particularly can do to work together on promoting the fans base. We'd like to see green faces in the crowd. We'd like people to be green with envy about the fact that we've got this team. And we believe that Canberra United, in fact, can be the best managed and marketed team in all of the W League teams.
I know we were just to come in there, Heather, the A-League guys, there's a group getting their green team going for the A-League thing. Is there any sort of thoughts on getting the supporters group sort of combined for the two? Because I know the A-League guys are going to start doing their stuff at the women's game, and in a sense, you know, the supporters probably are the best people to drive.
This is a football family team. This is not just the women's team. The players are female, and probably the match officials are female. But this is a Canberra team. It's Canberra United. We've got to attract the whole football family and the broader community. We'd like to be able to provide games that are entertaining, and that there's a range of entertainment activities around that. Whether it's jumping castles or paint-facing people, whatever it is, we're going to provide a great spectacle for people to come to the home games. We'll have a minimum of 5 home games, so that it's not a lot to work with, but we're going to do our absolute best to make it a football family occasion. If Mackellar is the venue that FFA accepts as a home venue, then I'm sure that we'll have, that we'll be able to pack that venue out. We want people to come and bring their picnic baskets and their rugs and sit on the grass, sit on the green, and support the team in green.
Well, you could say green's the new black. It's a very in colour at the moment with very environmentally friendly colour. Is that something you're looking to push?
Certainly with the team sponsor, we're able to seek a sponsor for the front of shirt, and we'd be looking at green companies, electric companies, maybe eco-friendly kind of companies. Anybody that wants to be seen in green, we'll be talking to them. We've got a couple of companies already in mind that we want to go and talk to about the main naming rights sponsor, but there'll also be match day sponsorships, short sponsorship, and also sleeve sponsors.
We're talking to Heather Reid about the launch of the Canberra United in the W League. I've got a few more questions to ask. We talked a bit about sponsorship then. talking about sponsorship and funding of this team, who actually owns the team? Where's this funding coming from? And how can the Canberra community play a part?
The licence for the team rests with FFA, but it's a three-way partnership between FFA, Capital Football and ACTAS. To a large extent, Capital Football is funding it with support from ACTAS as well. I'm just finishing off an application for a grant through the National League Team Funding Program. The ACT government is one of the few around Australia that actually provides such funding for teams in national leagues, and we'll be certainly looking to get some of that money. And then we'll be obviously looking to get some sponsorship as well. But our budget is around about $150,000. If I can cut a third of that with some government funding and another third with or more with corporate sponsorships, then that's what we'll do. We will have a small gate fee. We're probably looking at $5 entry on the gate and a gold coin donation for concession. But I'm pretty confident that we'll actually get the money from the community. If we don't, then it's Capital Football that wears the cost.
And membership packages, will they be available?
Yes, we need to develop a name for the club membership. In my previous working title for the team, it was Canberra Spirit, and we were looking at Club Spirit. We might have Club Green or something, but not Club Lime.
Now, I'm all for the whole football family, but I'm going to throw an idea at you on air, Heather. What about talking to Ivan Slavic about maybe the guys, people who sign up for the membership package online for the A-League, they could get access to the Women's League. I mean, is that something worth considering?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, if we've got them as foundation members of the A-League, then they can have free entry to the games.
Fantastic. Well, there you go. Get out there and sign up.
Bring along your certificate, bring along your ID, and you're in. But, you know, we do want to have a club membership, and I've sort of speculated that we might have 300 people at $50 each, and they get free entry to the games and a special shirt and maybe a bit of hospitality at the end of the season, something like that. But we will definitely be working on a club membership for fans.
Now, we are catching up with CEO of Capital Football, Heather Reid. Earlier today, I caught up with Canberra's very own Lydia Williams. She's a goalkeeper for the Matildas, and we discussed her thoughts on the new W League and what it means for her and her teammates.
I'm joined by Canberra's very own Matilda, Lydia Williams. Welcome, Lydia.
Hello.
Now, the W League was announced yesterday. What does a league such as this mean to someone like you?
You know, it's very promising for myself and all the older Matildas. You know, we actually have a competition to play against each other in, so that's going to be, you know, very positive step for us.
Now, we saw you and a lot of your teammates in Sydney yesterday wearing your colours. Was there much rivalry and banter starting already?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think we're already putting bets backstage who's going to be winning the competition. You know, me and Bubs were already paying out the girls about they're not going to score against us.
And I believe you've already mentioned it's going to be a Canberra United Melbourne Victory Grand Final this year. Possibly going to penalty shirts. I believe you said you were going to score the winning one pass, Bubs.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how it's going to be panned out this year.
Now, if there wasn't a W League, where would you be playing?
I'm not too sure what was going to be on the cards for me. Obviously, I'll probably try to look overseas. You know, they have competitions that just go for 3 months, so that would have, you know, easily have slotted in place of the W League.
Now, we see a lot of your Matilda teammates heading overseas already. Was that something you considered?
Yeah, definitely. I'm part American, so it was easy for me to go over America whenever I needed to. So, yeah, that would have been the, you know, easiest sort of way for me to get a competition.
Now, with the Matildas, and you've got the likes of Amy Chapman, yourself, Caitlin Munoz, it's going to be a pretty strong side, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So we just have to figure out what's going on coaching-wise and who we can recruit up to Canberra.
Any teammates you'd like to get down here playing?
You know, well, if we did have the perfect team, all the Queenslanders are up in, you know, Queensland, Sunny Coast, and there's like half the Matildas up there, so maybe try to recruit one or two of them.
Maybe mentioning that they should come down to Canberra. It's a lovely place during summer. It's not cold in summer either.
Yeah, I have mentioned that, and then they just laughed and walked away.
And no, it'd be great to have all the Matildas, all your teammates in Australia, you know, a chance for you guys to have regular camps and maintain that team spirit.
Yeah, that's going to be really good, especially the rivalry between us in different states, so looking forward to it.
Now, honestly, how tired are you at the moment? You've just come off about 1,000 flights around the world playing football all over the place. You must be exhausted.
Yeah, I'm pretty sick of travelling, and if I go on another plane, I'm just going to scream or something. Yeah.
Is there one thing that you take on an airplane every time you go?
My iPod, and I make sure I have some snacks because sometimes they do not have any food that is worth eating.
Favourite snack?
Lollies.
Are you daring to make any predictions?
For W League? Not really. I hope, Canberra, we do have a good team and, the word does get around. We got live coverage of our games, so that's going to be, heaps positive and a giant step forward. So hopefully we get, some international players wanting to come next time.
And no doubt you'd like to see a lot of Canberrans getting out there wearing the green and supporting you guys.
Yeah, yep. Come out. We bring pom-poms and signs and everything.
Male cheerleaders?
Yeah, yep.
Maybe not.
Oh, I don't mind.
Anyways, Lydia, thanks for catching up, and best of luck for the rest of the year.
Thank you.
And remember, if you're going to the near post...
Get there first. The near post, get there first.